Good morning, everyone. I'm Mary Griffith, and this is the Mary Griffith Show, powered each and every morning by Harvest Ridge Coffee, a premier coffee roasted and delivered in small batches, always hand-roasted for you. And you can get the signature blend, which we have right here at the Radio Ranch, or if you like something a little bit stronger, they've got French Roast and Highlander Grog and Extreme Blend and Kona Blend and Colombian Supreme. Now, I feel like I'm cheating on my Pepsi husband because, yes, indeed, Harvest Ridge Coffee sponsors the Mary Griffith Show, but its brother, Starbucks Cold Brew in a Can, is also bottled by Refreshment Services Pepsi and distributed here. And thanks to Brian Heintz visiting the Mary Griffith Show yesterday, he gave me a can of chocolate cold brew Starbucks, which I've been enjoying all morning, and I must say, it is delicious. Now, you're saying, well, where can I get this? I'm running right out. You can't. It's not out yet. I have the only can available in the tri-state area. Kaylee McFarland is looking at it like, I must have this. You can't, Kaylee. It's not available anywhere, except in my tummy right now. So that's how that goes. So thank you, and look forward to Starbucks cold brew coffee. It's really very delicious, although on this morning I probably needed hot brew coffee more than anything. We're going to talk today about the Community Foundation, and then we're going to turn our attention to Catholic schools, so let's get right to it. Kaylee McFarland joins us from the Community Foundation, and we're going to kind of go over, it's kind of a reset,
yeah,
the basics.
That's what I thought I'd do here today, because a lot of people have heard the Community Foundation. Some haven't. You know, we're on here every month, but
I'm still confused.
Right.
It is. You know, it's the kind of thing. It's like when people say, "How do you play Quarter Madness?" I said, "I could spend 2 hours trying to explain it to you, or you could come to a Quarter Madness event and pick it up in 2 minutes."
Right.
And I feel that's the way it is about the Community Foundation. I mean, I remember having Ray Brummel on talking about this, and I think for a whole year I still didn't know what she was talking about,
mm-hmm.
and she's very intelligent. And then I got educated and got it in my brain, and then I became a member, and I opened up a family fund, and now I get it.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is get everybody to get it, because whether you participate or not, the great thing about it is you can always make a donation.
Sure.
And this is really worthwhile. So we're going to talk about the Community Foundation serving Northeast Missouri and West Central Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the three reasons why. Number one, for you. Number two, for your community. And number three, forever.
Yes.
I like that. So talk about what the Community Foundation does.
Sure. So our purpose is really to build a permanent charitable and civic endowment that will support our region forever. And I like to put it in three simple terms: give, grow, grant. So we give, or we gather really funds from individuals, families, organizations, and we give to support the causes that they care about. And we grow those funds through permanent charitable endowments. And then we grant those funds out to nonprofits right here in our 12-county service area. So since we started back in 1997, we now have more than 230 different funds. We have a $55 million plus endowment, and we have given out more than $18 million in grants. And you put it really simply, Mary, is that it's for you, it's for your community, and it is forever. And your gift becomes a permanent asset to ensure that funds will be available forever to support the causes that you care about. But a lot of people get confused. Maybe that's not the right word.
There's nothing wrong with getting confused.
Because we do so many things for different reasons, right? So if you want to give to a fund that we already have, great, you can do that. And we have information on how to do that. If you want to start a fund, great. We know we can help you with that. And there's different funds for different charitable purposes and what you're wanting to do. And if you're a nonprofit, we are here to help support you through the funds that we have. So it's really kind of what is your in, right? And what are you wanting to do? And then we can go from there. But when you're just talking about what it is that we do, and it's this huge umbrella, you kind of get lost and you're like, wait, what? So you got to find kind of your niche and what you're wanting to do, and then we can kind of go from there.
I like it because when you give a gift to the Community Foundation, that gift really, in a sense, lasts in perpetuity. Because let's say you give $100 to a fund. Okay. What they're doing is they're taking the interest off that $100 this year. They're never taking the $100.
Mm-hmm.
$100 will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
The interest every year will be given to that charity of your choice. And so you can choose to give to the Community Foundation. Just, I want to give to this cause, or I want to give to this, and the Community Foundation will take your money. Now, some people say, well, gee whiz, why have a middleman? I'll just give to my favorite charity. And that's okay. I mean, obviously, in our lifetimes, we want to continue to give to our favorite charities. But the problem with that is, when I die, so does my gift. I think about, that's why I started my parents' fund,
mm-hmm.
because my mom and dad sat down and wrote checks, you know, especially around Christmas time,
right.
You know, and I remember sitting there and, them writing these checks and having this discussion as our family. And, you know, after they died, I kept up a little bit of the check writing, not only my checks, but their checks. And I'm like, I can't keep this up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I got to have a better way to do this, because I'm going to go someday too. So I think that's the one thing. Yes, give to the charities you love now, but what happens to them when you're gone?
Right.
Make some provision for what will happen to them when you're gone. And that's the perpetuity of the Community Foundation. So you're not telling people, oh, don't give to a local charity or don't give a gift today. You're just saying there is a great way to give that will last forever, and you ought to also consider that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we never want to discourage people from giving to the organizations that they care about. We are looking more long-term. So when you give to an organization, a nonprofit, they are most likely using those funds for immediate needs, which is great because all those nonprofits have those immediate needs. When you give through the Community Foundation, we're looking forward. We are looking towards those needs that we may not even know yet. And this really came into play during COVID. And we used our unrestricted dollars to help those organizations that had to cancel fundraisers, that didn't have those dollars coming in that they usually do. They were having trouble just keeping the lights on at a lot of organizations here in this area. And so that's what we use those funds for. So when you give through the Community Foundation, you're looking ahead. You're looking towards permanent support. And it really helps those organizations stick around even after you're gone. You know that your gift is going to support whatever it is that you cared about.
Yeah, the legacy lives on.
Right.
But the Community Foundation, why entrust my assets there? I mean, you know, I could have just started a fund and called it the Charlie and Gina Fund, and my brother and I could have administered it until, of course, we both got in our 80s. And we lost our minds, and we didn't know what we were doing. And I think if anybody's ever been part of a small group, like a Red Hat Society or anything like that, where you have a little group of friends that get together and play cards, and suddenly, you know, it's like, who's in charge of bringing the bridge mix? And pretty soon, nobody can remember who's got the bridge mix and who's got the cards and who brought the card table and what are we going to do? And
right.
I mean, the Community Foundation has a very small staff. But in perpetuity, no matter who that is, a board of directors will continue forward, and they will make sure that that gift with those restrictions, which we put on that, my brother and I said, this is what this is for, and this is what it's not for, we don't have to worry. We go to our graves resting easy,
right.
that in perpetuity is taken care of.
Yeah, we are a small team. The majority of us are from this area. If we are not from this area, we have ties to this area. And all of the financial advisors we work with are local. So, you know, you're not getting someone in Chicago or St. Louis or a big metropolitan area giving you advice or giving us advice on how to invest the dollars, on how to spend the dollars. We're all local. We know what the community needs. We know what the organizations in our community need. And that's how we allocate those dollars. And we cover 12 counties, which is a huge area in Northeast Missouri and West Central Illinois. We can't be in all those 12 counties at all times, but we have county fund councils, and we have representatives in those counties who are spokespeople for the communities that we can't get to all the time. So they are constantly in contact with us saying, hey, here's what's going on here in Shelby County. Here's what's going on here.
And they
in
just
Brown
made their
County.
Shelby County just started their own fund.
I know.
I was just with some of the people that helped make that happen. I said, Did it happen? Yep. We got her done.
Yeah. They, in less than a year, they made that happen. And so we have several different county endowment funds and local representatives within those counties keep in contact with us, and they say, this is what Shelby County really needs right now. This organization, boots on the ground, doing the good work. This is what program they're working on, and this is what project they're working on, and they really need funds to help with that. So we are hyper-local, and that's what's going to set us apart from those bigger financial firms.
And I say this not in disparagement of the Marion Gardner Jackson Trust Fund, because it is wonderful and will give in perpetuity in its own separate entity. But Marion Gardner Jackson, when she passed away, she set up a local trust, and every year on Christmas Eve, it was distributed, and local people advised it, and local people had a say in it. And now that trust is administered out of Boston. I think those people care. But they look at a piece of paper and says, oh, Mary Griffith wants X for X. Don't know who Mary Griffith is. Don't know if she really needs it. Don't know if how much, you know, she says on paper she serves one out of every three. We don't know. But sounds good. We'll give her money. Great. A lot of people get a lot of help from the Marion Gardner Jackson Trust Fund. I'm not putting it down at all, but it's not locally controlled. It hasn't been for years. The Community Foundation will always have your neighbors helping to decide, especially if you set up a fund that's unrestricted, mm-hmm. because you can't begin to imagine. I've been to a lot of Community Foundation things, and one lady spoke, and she said, this guy gave millions of dollars to eradicate foot and mouth disease or something. I'm kind of making it up. I don't really know what the name of it is, hoof and mouth disease or something. And she said, and it worked. But now hoof and mouth disease is eradicated, but this fund continues. So somebody right. in the local economy had to say, I knew this guy. I knew what his hope was. He wanted to improve agriculture. Now we've got this other thing. Let's put the money there. Let's put the money here. So in perpetuity, what is best for our community will always be known by those people 100 years from now, 200 years from now, who live in this community, because we can't begin to imagine what our community will look like then. We only know we want it to be a great community.
Yeah, and that's a great point that you bring up, is that if you want to support a certain organization and 50 years from now that organization is no longer around, we can go back to those original plans that you made and say, you know, her real passion was, let's just say, theater.
That's a good one for me.
Yes, that this particular organization isn't around anymore, but this one is, and it goes to support the theater and the performing arts. So we can kind of shift those dollars, still going to support the causes that you cared about, not necessarily maybe that specific organization that isn't around anymore, but like I said, the causes
the
that you care
mission.
About, yeah, are still being supported. And so that's a good point that you bring up, because if it was a firm that was no longer or not here, they wouldn't know.
Right.
But the fact that we are hyper-local, we have that knowledge.
I remember when I made my first will, it was like, I give this much to the Girl Scouts, or in the absence of them existing upon the time of my death, to an agency that serves girls.
Right.
I give my money to Notre Dame High School, which, you know, when I went to school there, you know, that wasn't what it was called, or the Catholic higher education system that serves, you know, whatever, or mm-hmm. a lack of that in elementary. So, you know, again, this, you think about this, that you want things to go to your favorite charity, but what will your favorite charity be 200 years from now? You can't even begin to understand. But that's why the Community Foundation is so great, because in perpetuity, what you really want is to help your community,
mm-hmm.
and this will help in perpetuity. So, tax advantages. Are there any to giving to the Community Foundation?
Yes, there are. There's a lot of different tax advantages when working with the Community Foundation. We have all that information on our website, mycommunityfoundation.org, but we are a 501c3 ourselves. So we have all those nonprofit tax advantages when you are looking to give. And we have several different ways that you can give. We don't necessarily just take cash or check. We take all sorts of different things. Yes. Yep, we take grain, we take IRA gifts. And so, again, all that information is on our website, mycommunityfoundation.org, but several different ways to give and support your community or the causes within your community that you care about.
You know, those mandatory distributions. You saved all your life for a great retirement. Now, suddenly it's like, I have to take a mandatory distribution.
Right.
I really don't need the money right now, but you got to pay tax on it. But if you give it to the community foundation, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to have your own fund. You know, my brother and I happen to have done that, but that doesn't mean you have to do that. You can give to the Charlie and Gina Fund. You can give to any mm-hmm. fund you want for any purpose you want that matches that. You know, that's great. And then if you have a not-for-profit that needs money, you can make that need known, and the Community Foundation can try to match those donor dollars with what you need.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time,
yeah.
Kaylee McFarland, but how can we get in touch and learn more about the Community Foundation? Because I still think people don't quite understand the perpetuity.
Yes.
And when you start talking about what difference does it make when I'm gone, it makes a huge difference. Just think. Most of us think, well, I don't have very much money, and I certainly want my kids to, you know, get it. And we understand that, and that's perfectly acceptable. That is normal. But what if you just gave 5%? What if you just wrote, you know, in your will, upon my death, 5% of my total net assets at the time of death go to the Community Foundation? Think what that would mean
mm-hmm.
to our community.
Yeah.
That would just be so much.
Yeah, it would. And we've been talking a lot recently about the transfer of wealth, and if you're wanting to give to your children, great. More than not, they are not living here in this area. They've moved on to different communities and different states, and we want to try and keep as many dollars here, local here as possible, especially since we are such a rural type area. We want to keep the dollars that were built here. We want to keep them here. And so we've been talking a lot about if everyone gave just 5%, really what that would mean for the communities within our 12-county service area. And to put it simply, it would mean a lot.
It would.
It would mean a lot.
It would be millions and millions mm-hmm. of dollars. 5% is not a lot, but altogether, 5% is a great deal.
Yeah.
So contact the Community Foundation at mycommunityfoundation.org, mycommunityfoundation.org. Hopefully we put a little seed in your heart today and every month that, hey, this sounds like something I really might want to make an investment in, because I want my community to continue to be here long after I'm gone. I want the things that I care about to continue to grow and prosper. Thank you so much, Kaylee.
Thanks for having me, Mary.
We're going to talk about Quincy Notre Dame and the Catholic elementary schools in a moment, but at 9:37, let's head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. This report brought to you by Rex Battery. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. You didn't win the Powerball jackpot? Well, those odds are too high. But if you want to have a better odd of winning, you can win in the Mega Millions raffle to benefit the Quincy Catholic School System. And joining me today is Kurt Stuckman. And we're going to talk today about the fact that this is obviously rigged, since I have never won, and I've bought a ticket ever since it started, but that's okay. The Mega Millions raffle, your $100 ticket could be worth $100,000.
And think about that, Mary. The odds, 1 in 4,000.
One in 4,000. I mean, again, it's gambling. And again, it's like anything else. Whenever I buy any kind of raffle ticket or any gambling thing like that, I'm making a contribution, and maybe I'll, you know, be the lucky dog that gets the jackpot, you know. But basically, you're making a gift. And a lot of people, $100 is not a very heavy lift when you think about what our Catholic schools, both the primary and the high school, do for our community. So this is a great way for everyone to support Catholic education in Quincy, because even if you're not Catholic, the graduates that we put out and the quality of students, and notice I say we, anytime there's anything good in the community, I always tag myself along with it. And then in the judicial system, it's always them, you know. But So anyway, I will be going tomorrow to Blessed Sacrament School to volunteer my time and talent, because I don't have any damn treasure to give them. So I give time and talent on Wednesdays. But I've seen this money be put to use in the Catholic schools, and it is truly phenomenal. So let's talk about the mega raffle.
Let's do. I think the most important thing to think about is this is our 13th year, and we've raised more than $2.3 million. That's quite a fundraiser. When you take a pulse of various fundraisers I know that I've been a part of in my professional lifetime, it's quite an impactful fundraiser to raise over $2.3 million in the last 12 years that goes towards tuition assistance, technology upgrades, and more importantly, it builds the future of Catholic education right here in Quincy.
You know, when I was going to school, we didn't have this. I mean, we had, annual fund drives, and Notre Dame still has an annual fund drive. How much has this raffle, this Mega Millions, how many years have you been doing this now?
This has been 12. This is our 13th year.
So in those 12 years, this has been a true game changer for the amount of money that can be poured into Catholic education.
It really, really has. I mean, as we know, margins are becoming tighter and tighter every single day. You see it in your business. We see it in our business. And you just have to figure out ancillary ways that you can raise money. And so this raffle, 12 years ago, we did probably a year and a half worth of research of the various places and dioceses that already had raffles. And why reinvent the wheel? We went right back to them and said, hey, how do you do this? What's the good points, the bad points, so on and so forth. And then we built our own raffle based on what we learned from the various schools in the diocese. And it has truly been a game changer. It has created that opportunity. So many families have benefited from this, especially on the the K-8 side with Sarah Russell and QCES. It's just been a game changer in their ability to offer financial aid to families who don't have the wherewithal but want a Catholic education.
And it doesn't have to be a Catholic family. I can tell you from experience, when I go sit in that classroom tomorrow, three of those 22 children are not members of the Catholic faith, but they are receiving that Catholic education. I wouldn't know if their parent, I don't know how they're paying for it. I don't care. That's not my place to even think about that. But I know when I walk in the school of that, or my alma mater, St. Dominic's, or St. Francis, where I have friends that go, or, even St. Peter's.
Mm-hmm.
Even St. Peter's, which needs help like I need another hole in the head, but I'm not bitter. Or Notre Dame. We know that there are children there in every single one of those schools that don't fit the norm and do need financial assistance. And this is kind of a confidential, private way to make sure those kids have the same kind of schooling that other children have accessible. And that's what's great. You're going to sell $400,000 worth of tickets if you sell out.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving away $100,000 for the grand prize, and then there are some ancillary prizes down the road. One of the things that you've been smart about is you have these early bird
right.
prizes, because you've got to get that 400K in.
Right.
You're going to give away 100,000 even if you don't sell 4,000 tickets.
Right.
So you've got to maximize that ticket potential. So one of the ways you do that is, and this is why it's important for you, if you've got a kid in school, you know their parents, those parents are selling these tickets. Because the parents can get a prize, too. So let's talk about how this all works, because people want this $100 ticket. It's usually not that hard to find, but there have been times when, that's why I keep buying more each year, because I heard you bought the ticket. Would you like to buy one for me? No, I hate your child. Leave me alone. I can never say that. So
yes, the raffle does kick off on Thursday. So all of our Catholic school families, K through 12, will have tickets in hand on Thursday. And so that will launch the raffle. The most important thing, as you mentioned, regarding the early ticket sales is that $25,000 early bird prize. Now, here's the kicker with that, and this is what we like the most about this. You can qualify to earn the $25,000 prize if you are a ticket purchaser and a ticket seller, but it's only for that one drawing, and it's also the second largest prize in their whole entire raffle. So you have a deadline, though, to get those in by 4 p.m. on Friday, May 3rd, to be a part of that one $25,000 drawing. But the whole point is it promotes ticket sales early, exactly as you had said. And people don't want to – if you're going to buy a ticket early so that way you have an opportunity to win the second largest prize of the raffle of the $25,000.
Is your ticket thrown back in again for
Correct.
The big prize? Okay. So if I sell the ticket,
mm-hmm.
I get $25,000?
Mm-hmm.
And the person who has the ticket if their number's drawn, they get $25,000.
There's only one $25,000 winner. So what happens is there'll be two different tickets that are filled out. So the purchaser, the regular ticket of the purchaser will go into the raffle, and there's a separate ticket just for this $25,000 raffle that's for the ticket seller.
Oh, okay.
And so yes, I mean it's you. If you do win, you do go back into the pot. If you have that kind of luck and you can continue to keep winning, you know, more power to you.
Okay, so that's the reason why, you know, think about who you know that would be selling these tickets. Those parents would appreciate it if you would buy a ticket from them,
sure,
and their child, because they have a chance to win $25,000.
Especially early.
Then they won't have to ask for financial assistance. They can send their kid to Notre Dame and to the Quincy Catholic schools. The $100 ticket, you're hoping to sell, of course, all 4,000 tickets to bring a $400,000 total purse to you. Everybody wins a mega drawing because, in a sense, everybody does win. You're going to make that. It's a charitable contribution no matter how you cut it. If you're not drawn, like I have never been in 12 years, you know, you still feel good because you are helping out a good local cause. If you do win, hey, yippee-yay.
Absolutely.
All
it's just
the
an
better.
Bonus. You can make a difference, and you also have an opportunity to win.
Now, what do you use the money for? You mentioned a few of the things like technology. Mm-hmm. I think that we are so fortunate here in Quincy, and this is such a different town compared to a lot of the towns around. We have the Olmos Academy now. We have Protestant private schools. We have Catholic education. We have homeschooling. We have a public school system. I don't care how many people want to bash it, it's pretty damn phenomenal in what they're able to do. So we have an education system in this area that is really above the bar when you compare it to other places. And I think a lot of that is because, whether it's Catholic education or even public education, people are willing to, you know, we're having this dream big in color thing, you know. It used to be that only the private schools had to beg for money. Now the public schools are begging for money because of things like technology. Talk about the technology game changer, because Notre Dame High School went to something a few years ago that a lot of people thought, that won't work, that's too expensive, or that's foolish, but it's turned out to be a big difference in the quality of education at QND.
It really has. So this was, gosh, time flies. It's probably been 10-plus years ago now that we had integrated technology into our learning. So essentially what you're doing is students are learning in real time. So they're learning history in real time. And it's an odd concept because you and I, Mary, we never had that luxury, you know, and so it's different. And so we, you know, integrated iPads into our curriculum, and the utilization of technology, it's just preparing kids for the next stage of their life. You know, once they go on to college and what have you, is technology is not going away, whether we like it or not. It's not. And it is going to further enhance their professional careers, regardless of what they do. There's technology in everything.
Right.
And so, you know, being well-versed in technology and in the educational process will only help them. So funds from the mega raffle early on, the first couple of years, did help us get our technology off the ground. We had to build the infrastructure. You had the hardware, the software, all that goes into that.
And then you got to buy everybody an iPad.
Yes.
Like I know at the second grade level at Blessed Sacrament, take out your Chromebook.
Right.
Miss
right.
Pinky, can you help me log on? No, I can't. Miss Pinky rode a dinosaur to school. We didn't have a Chromebook. Figure it out
no
on your
pen
own.
And a pencil.
Yeah, but it's so amazing because I see them. It's so funny. They'll look at their book and they'll fill out their thing and they like their little workbooks and their little school books. But boy, when it's time to get out your Chromebook, mm-hmm. they get so excited
mm-hmm.
and they treat them with such respect because they're told,
mm-hmm.
don't mess this up, kid.
Right. Take care of them.
Take
not,
care
they're
of
not
it.
Cheap.
Yeah, they're not cheap. So it's just fascinating that at the second grade level, you know, that every child in that classroom, 22 kids, have their own personal Chromebook
mm-hmm.
that they can learn on and play games, which I'm making air quotes because the math games are games, but they're all about math, the spelling games, you know, and they love it.
Yeah.
They compete with each other who can answer the first, and the computer knows, and
yep.
it puts up the name, you know, Ricky got it first or whatever. It's pretty fascinating. So that technology is a game changer for private schools who would not be able to afford it if it weren't for things like the mega raffle.
Well, when you think about just technology in the classrooms at the secondary level, you take a math class, you know, when you have a math class of 20 or 22 kids in it, you know, years ago when you and I were in school, they'd call you out, you'd come up and you'd work on problem number 4 on the board, you'd work it out and all that stuff. Well, now you just simply mirror your iPad through the projector and you sit there at your desk and you're working on it and it's projected up onto the whiteboard or whatever, and so you're not actually even leaving your desk. Everyone watches your iPad as you're working through that and can help you through the steps to solve that problem. It's so different.
It is different, but it's better, and that's why we continue to have to raise money, and that's what the Mega Millions is. Not, I keep saying Mega Millions, it's Mega Raffle. Mega Millions is a trademark of the Lottery Association.
You truly want to win the Mega Millions, don't you?
You know what? Now I'm all in on Powerball. See, it's once you start. See, why would I stop buying tickets now? What?
If you miss that one time, Mary, it's the guilt of not buying that ticket. And
I have a question real quick before we take a break. I'm going to let you think about this over the break. Okay. Now, remember, this is official answer because this could happen as early as Wednesday night. Thursday morning, you could get this phone call. Class of 77 alum, Mary Griffith, won the jackpot. And she got $1.1 billion. After taxes, it's only about $400,000, but that's a lot of money. What is Notre Dame High School willing to do in order to get a sizable donation? What are you going to name after me? What are you going to do? Okay, we'll take a break.
Okay.
We come back. Your answer,
which
I'm holding you to.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Get your mega raffle tickets from any of the students that go to the Quincy Catholic schools. We are back. Kurt Stuckman from Quincy Notre Dame, the QuincyMegaRaffle.org. You can get your tickets. Of course, the best way to buy them, of course, is from a student. That way, the parents of that student can be entered in a $25,000 drawing that will be drawn on May 17th. You must get your tickets early and have them in by May 3rd in order for this to happen. When will the grand prize drawing be? Is that on May 31st this year?
That is correct. It's going to be on Facebook Live. We're going to announce all the drawings will be on Facebook Live. We'll also announce our top three. So yeah, the goal was we wanted to try to get the raffle wrapped up before school is really officially out.
We used to kind of wait until a picnic.
We did.
And it was, you know, but that's okay. But then not everybody goes to that picnic.
Right.
And then I'll never forget, I was at St. Francis a couple of years ago and I walk in and my girlfriend said, you know, you won a big prize, like, you know, $1,500. No, and there it was out there, you know, so she was excited. She thought I was joking her. So you want to get the tickets early. You want to help out early. Obviously, you have chances to win in this early bird drawing and then in other drawings that will be held. The great thing about it is if you don't win the $100,000 grand prize, there are many other, there are like almost 38 prizes that will be given away. And so how much of the total $400,000 jackpot do you give back? Is it half?
$169,250.
Wow. Okay.
Because so, keep in mind, we have a $40,000. You can, you know, designate that $10 per ticket that goes back to our our five Catholic schools. So it's $40,000 in that pot that's set aside that benefits the $10 give back campaign to our Catholic schools. And a great part about that is a lot of those funds are unbudgeted funds for like St. Francis or Blessed Sacrament, St. Dominic, St. Peter's, what have you, and they can elect to use those funds for whatever they need. And so you're talking anywhere. Trying to think back based on previous performance, I mean, you're talking anywhere between $7,000 and $10,000, roughly as an average of those schools, you know, of unbudgeted money that you have to meet student needs.
You know, I do have to share this story. This will really kind of see where the heart of children is if they're raised right. Blessed Sacrament has a sister parish in Haiti, and we all know that Haiti is in the middle of terrible unrest, and for years, missionaries would go down there personally from Blessed Sacrament. They can't. They haven't been able to do that for a couple of years because it's dangerous. The kids are raising money to build a fence with barbed wire on top around the school so that their classmates in Haiti won't be kidnapped by terrorists. And when you think about these children have enough self-awareness to know that they have a safe playground to play on, but they can help another kid just by bringing in, you know, a small amount or whatever. And it's just their love and compassion for other kids is just amazing.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to do. And I think they're trying to do that in every school. You know, it's so funny. We can't have the Ten Commandments in school. So the way we got around that, of course, was to have the seven habits of highly effective people or whatever. But it is true that children thrive in an education environment that also gives them purpose and meaning in life.
Right.
So how do we get our tickets?
You can either contact the Q&D Foundation office, 217-224-2598. You can also go to QuincyMegaRaffle.org, or as we had mentioned, starting on Thursday when we kick this off, every single Catholic school family and parish office will have tickets for you to be able to pick up and purchase.
Okay. Make sure you purchase before May 3rd in order to be part of the early bird drawing, and then hang on for May 31st when you could be $100,000 richer. And I'm sure, and again, we have discussed, and a life-size statue is what you're willing to put up, right?
On top of the school in front of the bell tower.
Okay. I want to be on top of the bell tower.
At the very top.
I'll be the
we'll
lightning.
We'll get a hold of Bill Haberkamp. We'll make it happen.
Bill Haberkamp will do it for me. I know he will. Thank you very much.